It is. We're up to Perek. We have. Well, let's review the last pasuk, the last two pasukim in Perek Vav, and we already did it. But let's review because we didn't do the Radak. We'll just do the Radak, and then we'll go into Perek Zayin. So Perek, the end of Perek Vav concludes with a mashal. Okay, the last two pasukim are Nochar Mapuach Meish Kamo Tam Oifores. Okay, Dr. Friedman, so I think we'll do the seam. I think we'll do the seam a week from this Friday.
Okay.
So the seam will not be this Friday.
As long as you're interrupting that, you can collect for to defray the cost of the seam. You need to give it to me or to Phil.
Okay. What is the collection? What do we do?
Let's just say not
how much are we collecting
for the seam?
We have to inquire.
I think we can have
20 bucks.
20. Yeah. That's what we've done in the past. 20
is 20.
Okay, so Yerushalayim, a week from this Friday. I think it's July 1st. The date is July 1st.
Wives are all invited.
Wives are all invited, absolutely.
Get a kick out of it. Get a
the Yungalite. The Koilo Yungalite. Okay, let's begin. End of Perek Vav, Pasuk of Tes. We're reviewing the Radak and the Pasuk from the end of Perek Vav. Nochar Vapuach Me'esh Kama. Okay, there's a Krivach Siv. It's spelled here as one word, but really it's two words. And not only is it two words, what's unique about this Krivach Siv is it's two words where the first word is the conclusion of the previous sentence and the second word is the beginning of the next sentence. I think that's very rare. It's a very rare phenomenon.
A phrase.
You have a krivich siv and you break up the word into from one word, you break it up into two words, and one word is the end of the first sentence, and the second word is the beginning of the next sentence. How often do you have something like that in Tanakh? I don't know. I'm not into trivia, but I don't think it's too common. It's too common to do something like this. But nevertheless, it says Nochar Mapuach Me'esh Kama Tam Oifores. The lead is consumed. Lashav Tsaraf Tsareif. For nothing, for a waste, the smelter has exerted himself to refine the silver, but yet viroim the evil deeds, or in this context the dross, lo nitaku has not been removed. Kesef nimos karu lohem, the next little pasuk concludes, you have been described, you have been called by the nations of the world, a detestable form of silver, ki ma'as Hashem, bohem Hashem has rejected them, the nation. Now, what is all this? This means it's outside, we'll do it back inside, but basically what it means over here is that in ancient times, the technique of refining silver was to put silver in a pot, to put into a kiln, into a furnace, a kiln, and to add an ingredient, lead. Lead seemingly absorbs the impurities. When lead gets very hot, when the silver gets very hot, and when the entire metal gets hot, and it turns into a liquid, the lead would absorb the impurities, and would leave the silver as 100% pure. And that's, of course, if everything goes according to plan. Now, in order for it to go according to plan, you have to have a very intense fire, and you need bellows. Bellows are like a fan to bring oxygen into the fire in order to enhance, to increase the heat of the fire. And you need, like we said, you need the ingredient, you need the lead in order to draw, to add. Once the silver becomes molten, you throw into the silver lead, and that lead will float to the top, it seems, and with it will draw towards it all of the impurities that are found in the silver. But over here it says, this is a mashal for Klal Yisrael. Hashem has taken Klal Yisrael of the silver. Klal Yisrael of Molei Chet. Hashem says, I have no choice but to punish Klal Yisrael, to bring upon them suffering. And the suffering is the equivalent of Klal Yisrael being put into a furnace. And the purpose of the suffering is in order to refine them, to draw out, to draw from them the impurities. But unfortunately, Hashem says it didn't work. It was unsuccessful. The bellows in the process of fanning the flames were ruined, were singed by the fire. The lead that I put into the molten silver has disappeared. In other words, it's been used up. We've used up all of our raw material. And guess what? The silver is the same unrefined silver, the same low quality silver filled with impurities. And therefore Hashem says, I wasted my time. The Lashav Tsaraf Tsaref, I wasted my time because the sins have not been purged from my people. And now when we try to peddle this silver on the market, no, there are no takers. Because everyone says this silver is nimas, it's disgusting, it's repulsive, it was unsuccessful, it's such poor quality that even when they attempt to remove the impurities, the smelters were unsuccessful. Let's see all this in the Radak. We didn't do the Radak last time. Radak pasuk haftes nochar mapuach, the bellows have been dried out, meaning they are no longer functional. They've been singed by the fire. Because in the previous pasuk Hashem compared Klai Yisrael to copper and to iron. The napach makes the utensil. The smith. He makes copper and iron by refining various metals. So here in this pasuk, we're going a step further and we're comparing them with him shilm od lemolaches hatsoyev. Since the previous pasuk we did mention holchei rachil nechoshes ubarzel, and we're not going to review that now. We had a whole collection of interpretations of what that means, that the people among Klal Yisrael, they are gossip mongers, and they are like nechoshes ubarzel. And the simple interpretation means they're very brazen, they're molei chutzpah, like nechoshes ubarzel. So here also we're continuing in that theme, and we're continuing to describe it, to compare Klal Yisrael to the process of a smelter. Now here he goes further to explain. When a person wants to melt silver, your person inserts lead. What to refine silver? You insert lead into the silver. In order the kesef that, I guess, I don't know, it's not really clear exactly. Well, we're here in the article, he explains that that's used to draw. It draws the impurities. Here he seems to be saying something different. Here he seems to be saying over here is that you don't want it to be consumed. Somehow the lead prevents the silver from burning up or dissolving or evaporating. The smelter, he blows with the bellows, the fire, in order to purify the silver. The bellows is a marshal for the prophets. The blowing represents his mouth and his throat. The bellows have been burnt, have been dried out due to the intensity of its use. So too, the dibur hanavi hi hanificha, the speech, the words of the prophet is equivalent to the blowing of the bellows. The hoiferes tam, and when it says here that the lead has been consumed, in other words, the ingredients that you've put into the silver has been consumed. The adayin hakesef hora lo nitach, and the impure silver has not been refined. And that's a mashal for Vehem Yisrael Horoim, the evildoers in Klal Yisrael, Shemedaber Alehem Anavi, Hashkem Vo'erev, Tamid, to whom the prophet continuously, early in the morning and late at night, gives words of Musar, Ad Shenochar Grono, until his throat has been dried out. He lost his voice. He has a coughing fit from speaking too much to Klal Yisrael. The Adayin Roim Lo Nitchu V'Oidam B'Koshim, and the Jewish people, their evil still has not been removed, and they still remain hard. They remain evil people. So here he compares it. What is the lead? The lead compares to hishtadlus. So the lead means his effort. The effort that the prophet puts into refining Klal Yisrael has all gone to waste. V'hine lashav tsaraf tsareif tsareif tsaruf shem toyar b'shekel godol. This is a
noun.
Okay, nochar. Okay.
No, I'm sorry, an adjective.
Saruf Shem Toyar B'Shekel Gadol. Shekel Gadol is a grammatical term, I think. Nochar Mibinyan Nifal Inyan Sreifa. It means to be burnt. V'chein V'chara Nechushta, its copper has been burnt. Okay, Me'esh Tom K'siv Mila Achas V'Kare Trein Milin It's K'riv K'siv Me'esh Kama Tam Hoiferes, the lead has been consumed. Pasuk Lamed, Kesef Nimos, V'yachas Shaloi Nitku Meru Osam, now that they have not been refined from their evil, Hinehim Ki Kesef Nimos, they're like detestable silver, V'chein Karo Osam, Hayoidim Osam, and that's what they call those who know them, call them by that name, V'ro Osam, and their evil, Ki Moas Hashem Bohem, Hashem has rejected them, Kevon Shaloi Nitku Meru Osam, Ve'inim Chayzul Lamuta, because they have not been purified from their evil, and they do not do Teshuvah. Okay, so that's the
solution.
What is the solution? I don't know.
Well, I was a smelter and it didn't work. It's finding a little process.
Okay, so that's really what's going to go on to the next verse. Hashem's going to say, Hashem's, Yirmi is going to actually ask that question, because Baruch Hu, why aren't you ready if these people are no good? So find a replacement. Hashem says, nope, I cannot replace them. We're going to have...
That was Hoshea's time.
Yeah, there is a lot of overlap. And a lot of the... Okay, what is the solution? I don't know. What is the solution? The solution is that we should be receptive to the words of Musa and refine ourselves. At this point in time, it was unsuccessful. Okay, there is just one quick medrash I want to point out. The medrash says that sometimes when you refine silver too many times, this is a different approach to the message of the Pasuk. When you refine silver too many times, it becomes brittle. You can actually take the silver, and you can crumble it in your hands. That this is what it says. This is a mitzias. This is a reality. Even if you have silver metal, there are only that many times when metal can be subjected to that process. The reality is that it's weakened after a number of times. It's brittle. You can take a beautiful silver goblet and you can just rub it in your hands, and the entire thing dissolves.
Stronger as an alloy.
What?
It's stronger as an alloy.
When it's pure. When you mix other things inside, but it's saying even when it's not an alloy, even when it's in its purest form, it has a certain strength. Even silver, that's what it says in the Medrash. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the process, but it seems that even when you have pure silver that is taken from the ground, pure silver, after you refine it multiple times, the purity no longer has strength. It can dissolve easily just by crumbling in your hands. I don't know. It seems a little bit. I don't know. You have to ask people who know these things. I don't know. But this is what it says in the Medrash, and what it's saying over here. A very powerful idea is that Musar over time wears out. Even if the prophet is successful in giving Musar to Klal Yisrael, it's just not the same. Klal Yisrael can sin. The Navi will come along and say, what are you doing? You're doing Averis, you have to do Tshuva. Okay, we'll do Tshuva. We have Chatos Yofisi Pashati. Then a year goes by. Excuse me, or a period of time goes by. And again they do Averis. And the Navi comes along and gives them Musar. And they do Tshuva. But if this process repeats itself multiple times, Klal Yisrael has been diluted. Their toikif, their intensity, their kedusha has been diluted, where they reach a madreg of kesef nimos karulohem. Pasuk Lamed is teaching us a different idea than Pasuk Chavtes according to this Medrash. Pasuk Chavtes tells us that there have been tkufas in the history of Klal Yisrael where Klal Yisrael are so stubborn, they're not subject to refinement. They remain in their sin. They remain stubborn. They remain in a state of sinners. And then, unfortunately, there are times where they do tshuva. But the tshuva that they do, after they do tshuva, they immediately go back to doing the avera. And then the Navi comes along and warns them, and they do tshuva. And they do, and they go back and do the avera. And it's a vicious cycle. And when this cycle reoccurs many, many times in a short period of time, okay, they're kesef. When they present themselves to Hashem, when they present themselves to the world, they are 100% pure. There's not to be found within them any impurity. But the fact that they've gone through this cycle and through this process so many times in a short period of time, they are called kesef nim'os. Your silver under a microscope, no one's going to complain that it's not pure silver. But it's not a quality silver because it has been subjected to the process of refinement too many times. Kesef nimos karu lohem ki mo'as Hashem lohem. And that also leads HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say to Klal Yisrael, what is the game? This is the game. You do averus, then you do tshuva. You do averus, you do tshuva.
Isn't that human nature?
It's human nature to a certain degree. Every single year, you still go through the same process. But we know that when we ideally we're not supposed to come back to be on the same madriga we were the previous year. We are doing tshuva on fine points. The big things have to be removed once and for all, never to return. Okay, so it's very interesting. Two different mahalchim, two different sukkim, two different points of Musar, the Navi is giving to Klal Yisrael. Even when you do tshuva, don't do an avera with having in mind you're going to do tshuva. You're not going to be the same quality person after you do tshuva. Okay, let's go further. Now we go to
the question. Just in general, when you have a kli and a sieve, how do they develop?
It's a big mystery. So some will want to argue that in Nevi'im and Kesuvim, it was just a typo. It was a typo. It was some so whatever happened, like Eish Tom. It was just a mistake that crept into the text. In Chamishei Chumshei Torah, you can't really say that. In Chamishei Chumshei Torah, every Kri V'Chsiv, we have a tradition, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The text of Chamishei Chumshei Torah is sacred. Eish dost, for example, another something similar with Eish dost lamo. In Parshas Hazinu, Eish dost is spelled as one word. And Zos HaBracha, I'm sorry, Zos HaBracha, it's spelled as one word. There is no blank space in between the two. But we read it as two words, Eish, comma, you have to take a breath, Eish dost lamo. To say that it was a typo when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote on the Sefer Torah, or when some sefer at a later point in time copied from the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, to say that borders on apikorsis. Because in Chamishei Chumshei Torah, we have a tradition, every single thing is 100% accurate. We have a tradition as to the way it's written, and we have a tradition as to the way we pronounce it. In Nevi'im and Kesuvim, certainly in Kesuvim, there's more people, some of the Mefarshim are more liberal. The more generous is that the Mesoira we have is not 100% pure. And it could very well be that over the ages, mistakes crept into the text. So you wonder, when you have something like this, where it says, me'eshtam, is it really, and we have a kivach sib, we have a tradition that it's me'esh. Tom, to what degree is this the way it was meant to be, or what degree did a mistake creep into the text? Well, in this instance, we don't have, it's easy, because in this instance, there's no pronunciation change. It's really just the letters, we're not substituting different letters. We're keeping the same, we're just putting a space. I don't know, it's a very big mystery. Look, you know, in the 80s, this is before my time, but I read one sort of fascinating article, but in the 80s, there was when more people had access to the Aleppo Codex, they had access to the Aleppo Codex back in the 60s, maybe in the 50s, before that. But it became a very big issue in the 80s, a big machlokes between the Gedolei Yisrael. They discovered that the traditional Nevi'im, the Nevi'im that we have, that the shuls who read the Haftarah from a Navi on a Klaf, are not written according to the style, the Mesorah of the Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex supposedly is the most authentic record. It's about 1,000 years old. supposedly the Rambam used the Aleppo Codex to write his Sefer Torah, and the Rambam said Eidus on the Aleppo Codex that this is the pure, the true, pure Masorah. It was preserved. It was preserved all the way back from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam said that this is the most accurate Sefer Torah, and when he himself wrote a Sefer Torah, it was done based upon the Nusach of what was written in the Aleppo Codex. In 1948, after the formation of the State of Israel, there were riots in Aleppo. Today, there are bombings that are going on there every single day. This ISIS is there with Syria and with Russia and the Israelis. Everyone there is, the whole place is being bombed out every single day. But in 1948, there were riots, and the Aleppo Codex, there was a big mystery as to what happened to the Aleppo Codex. Initially, they said there was a fire, and the Chamishei Chumshei Torah were burnt, and the rest of the Aleppo Codex was secretly smuggled out of Syria to Eretz Yisrael. They now are almost certain that there was no fire, and different people snatched various pieces of the Aleppo Codex of Chamishei Chumshei Torah, and supposedly, well, hopefully one day, and the CIA and the Mossad and Bounty and people who are just looking to make a quick buck.
What was the name of that book?
There are a few books already on this. There are a few books. There's a lot. That we have to truly get some expert to come and speak to us about this. It's very fascinating.
What does the word codex mean?
Codex means like a codex is like a book. It's the old word for book. Because until more modern times, Sifrei Torah were written on scrolls. So when you want to go from the beginning to the end, you have to roll the entire thing. A codex was basically the first book where you put everything on paper. It's bound. Not really bound, but it was. They put things, because that's a codex. Codex is an old word for like a bound book. So there, in the Aleppo Codex, the way the parshios, the psuchos, and the stumos are written is not the way you will find it in the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim that we have today in our Batei Knesios, the Batei Midrashos. Like when some shuls, they read every single week the Haftarah from a klaf. And the way the psuchos and the stumos are written are not the same. For a classic example, as we've said this many times, Parshas Ashiras David, Perik Chav Beis. So in the traditional way to write Shiras David, Shmuel Beis, Perik Chav Beis, is to write it just like Oz Yashir. Ariach al gabe levena. In the Aleppo Codex, Shiras David is written like our Parshas Hazinu, two straight columns. Two columns that go all the way down. And it's interesting is that Shiras David is the Haftorah for Parshas Hazinu when Parshas Hazinu is not Shabbos Shuva. So the question became in the 80s, and this is a very, very, very big debate, is that when Sofrim were now writing, it became popular then for shuls to ask Sofrim to write new Nevi'im so they can lay on Shabbos the Haftarah from a Navi, should they write it in the style of what was traditional for the last 1,000 years that people find, where Shiras David was written like Oz Yashir, or should they write the new Nevi'im like the Aleppo Codex, two straight columns. So if I'm not mistaken, Rav Chaim Knievsky was of the opinion that you should write it like the Aleppo Codex. What I remember hearing is that he felt that the tradition that we have with regard to our Nevi'im is very, very weak. It's not a very strong Masorah due to the years of Golus. So if you open up in your shul, you find a Navi and it's written a certain way, it doesn't really mean that much. If we have the Aleppo Codex and tells us otherwise, you should follow the Aleppo Codex. Many other Gedolei Yisrael strongly disagreed. I think among them was Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And he was of the opinion that you cannot discount what we have for all these years. If in all of the Batei Knesios, the Batei Midrashos, the Nevi'im are written in a certain style, okay, it's true the Aleppo Codex is different, it's a question, but doesn't mean that the Masorah that we have been following for the last, whatever it is, 500 years, 1,000 years, I mean, and it's hard to put a date on all of these things, who's, you can't discount. And at Hayom HaZed, there is, what I've heard, it's 50-50. When someone is commissioned, they hire a sofer to write a set of Nevi'im, the first question is, should it be written according to the Aleppo Codex, or should it be written according to what is traditional? So that really touches upon your question. Your question over here is, it says over here, Ne'esh Tam, to what degree of Chaim Kanievsky, I remember hearing him say, is the Mesorah on the Nevi'im and Ksuvim is a very weak, it's a weak Mesorah. And if we have things that are more authentic, more authoritative, we should follow those things. So I don't know the answer to your question. Let's go to the next parak. Parak Zayin. Hadavar Asher Hayel Yirmiyahu. This parak goes very quick. Hadavar Asher Hayel Yirmiyahu Meyes Hashem Lema. The following message was to Yirmiyahu from Hashem saying, Amoid, I want you to stand b'shar beis Hashem. The Karas Hashem es Hadavar Hazeh. I want you to give over the following message in the Beis Hamikdash. The Amarta, and say the following message. Shimu Dvar Hashem Kol Yehuda Haboim Bashorim Ho'ele Lehishtachavois LaHashem. This message has been given to people that think they are religious. The previous parakim, the message was given to the Hamoinam. The average man in the street, was on a very low spiritual level. We're here holding right before the Gala, over the Chorban, the Hamoinam, the vast majority of people in the Kali Yisrael were idol worshippers. Not the vast majority, but a significant number of people were idol worshippers. They were not religious. They were not with the program, and it was the Musar given to the masses. Here in this parak, we're shifting gears, where Yirmi is giving Musar to people who think that they're perfect. The people who spend the entire day in the Beis Medrash, and they go to the Beis HaMikdash, and they daven, and they bring korbanos, we're focusing on the people that think it's not our problem. There are people out there in the world that are pagans, idol worshippers, who knows what they're doing. Okay, so they deserve mus, but us, with tzaddikim, we have long beards, we wear big hats, we have long garments, we bring korbanos, we daven 3 times a day, we do all the mitzvos. Here Yirmiyahu is saying, you're also a bunch of phonies. You're also a bunch of fakers. There's no one over here that's innocent, that's clean, has clean hands. Amoid b'shar beis Hashem. Go to the beis medrash. Go to the beis hamigdash. V'koros Hashem es hadavar hazeh v'yamarta. Shimu dvar Hashem. Kol Yehuda bar Hashem o'ela. All of you people who think you're religious, who think you're so good, you come to the gates of HaKadosh, these gates, to bow down to Hashem, I have a very strong, critical message for you as well. Improve your ways and your deeds. And if you do so, I will cause you, Vashakna goes on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will cause, it's the hifl form of the word, I will cause you to dwell in this place. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hinting that if you, there's a connotation, if you don't improve your ways, then I will no longer allow you to dwell in this location. In other words, I'm going to bring a churban. The churban of this makom is imminent. And the only way you can save this location is if you improve your ways and your deeds. Then and only then will I allow you to continue living and dwelling in this location. Let's see. Al tiftchu lochem el divrei hasheker lemar. Don't trust the words of the Nevi'e HaSheker, or Lav Dafko the Nevi'e HaSheker. Don't trust the words of the people that tell you. Now here's a very unique expression, which is subject to many, to a lot of commentary. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Hema. Hashem, don't listen to those who say that they tell you the triple dose. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Heima. Those who repeat these words three times. And what is the significance of repeating these words three times? So just one interpretation is there are people who tell you three times a year, Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, Yireh Kol Zuchur Chesfnei Hashem Elokecha B'Makom Asher Yivchar. There are people that tell you that coming to the Beis Hamikdash three times a year is a zuchus. And in that schus, you will survive. There's nothing to worry about. In other words, the whole the rest of the year, you can do every aver you want. Throughout the year, you can worship idols, you can do averos, speak lashon hara, and do terrible averos. As long as you pay your taxes. What are your taxes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If you come to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Heima, they are people of the Heichal Hashem. If you come three times a year, you're safe. That's nonsense. Coming to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year is not going to save you from the Churban. What's going to save you from the Churban is doing Hashem's will the rest of the year. Okay, let's go further when we come back. Ki im heitev heitivu estar chechem v'es ma'al lechem. If you improve your ways and your deeds, im asot hasu mishpat, only if you do mishpat bein ishu vein re'ehu, between iman and his friend. Next part, the ger yosam yalmona lo sa'ashoku, only if the ger and the yosam, the orphan and the widow, you did not rob. V'domno ki al tishpuchu b'mokom hazeh, and the blood of the innocent you do not pour in this location. That refers, according to the Mepharshim, we'll see in a moment, to Zechariah. Zechariah was murdered about 150 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so they were always being reminded of the murder of this individual who is a Kohen and a Navi who is preaching on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash to stop worshipping idols, to stop doing averos, and he was silenced by being murdered, and his blood bubbled for 150 years until Nebuzaradan came and saw the blood bubbling and was curious as to why it was bubbling, until he launched an investigation and discovered that he was murdered on Yom Kippur when he was preaching to Klal Yisrael not to worship idols, and he said, Zechariah, I will avenge your blood, and he murdered on that blood the best and the brightest of Klal Yisrael. Over a million people were murdered, were killed to avenge his blood. And don't follow other gods to bring evil upon yourself. Now here we go into the conclusion of this statement, of this idea. Only then, will I cause you to remain in this location, the land that I've given your forefathers, lemin oilam v'ad oilam, from time immemorial until the end of days. Okay, so that's the theme. Let's go now through all these psukim in the Mepharshim. It goes very quick. Starting with the Mitzudot Stav, Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph, there is a Pasuk, probably Pasuk Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Aleph, the Eshkina. Eshkina is Hifl form. Ashkin eschem b'makoyim hazeh. I will cause you to remain, to dwell in this location. The main point is velo siglu mimenu. You will not go into exile. Notice the Navi is being very delicate. He doesn't want to say the word galus. He says, if you're going to behave yourself, everything will remain. The status quo will remain. You will be permitted to remain in this land. El divri hashaker. Do not listen to words of shaker. El davar she'en bay mamish. Now notice he does not here mention the Nevi'e Sheker. It's a very important point, because until now the Mitzudos and all the Mepharshim, when we were referring to the Hamoinam and it said Divrei Sheker, there was always an emphasis, don't listen to the words of the false prophets. Here it was not necessarily the words of the false prophets, because we're dealing with people that would appear to be tzaddikim. They come every single day to the Beis HaMikdash. They come Shalosh Rugalim. These are good people. Who's speaking to them? Themselves, their mind. In the back of their minds, they fool themselves, I don't have to worry. I am a tzaddik. I do what is correct. I come to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year. I daven, I bring korbanos. Everything by me is fine and good. Nothing is bad is going to happen to me. So the people of the Divrei Hashem means do not listen to the words of yourself. El Divrei Davar Shem Baimamish. Shem Oimim Hechel Hashem Vehema Ritzon Eloimar. Halei Hechel Hashem Hema Bisachenu V'lo Yachariv Hashem Es Hecholo. Hashem will not destroy his Beis HaMikdash. Why does he repeat this theme 3 times? V'yamar Shlosha Pamim Hechel Hashem. So here the Mitzudo says that it refers to the 3 different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. Al Ha'ulam V'HaHechol V'HaDevir Shekulam Nikroim B'Shem Hechel U'L'Ze'amar Ha'hema B'Losh Rabim Ki Shlosha Hema. That's why it says it B'Losh Rabim. Now we know in the Beis HaMikdash the Kodesh HaKodashim is the Hechel. That's one Hechel. Then is the Kodesh. The Kodesh is where you have the Menorah, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach Hazav. And then you have the antechamber. That's that funny shaped room that is right in front of the Hechel. The antechamber, the Ulam, is unique in that it did not exist in the Mishkan. The Mishkan only had a Kodesh HaKodashim and the Hechel, and then you had the Chotzer. Only in the Beis HaMikdash was there what we call the Ulam. All three here are called by the term of Hechel. It's very important because you do find throughout Chazal, you have the word Hechel in the Gemara, often you have it in the Nusach HaTzvilah and in the Kinois. The word Hechel appears many times and it does get confusing. Sometimes the word Hechel refers to the Kodesh HaKodashim, and sometimes it's clear from the context that it refers to the Hechel, and even sometimes it refers to the Ulam, and sometimes you don't know. It's a general term. The most common time, the most place we have the word Hechel, the most frequent to us is in the Al, the bracha me'ein shalosh, al hamichi v'al gefen, v'al heicholecha, al mizbechecha, v'al heicholecha. So heicholecha, what does that refer to? Does that refer to the Kodesh HaKodashim? Does that refer to the Kodesh? Or does that refer to the Ulam? So it refers to all three. V'al mizbechecha, v'al heicholecha. And that's why it repeats it over here 3 times, at least according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos. Pasuk Vav, l'ra lochem, asher me'avoidosam, timshach lochem ra v'loy toiva. From your evil deeds, you are bringing upon yourself evil v'loy toiva. V'shachanti, kasher kein tasu, if you will do good, if you will desist from doing evil, os ashkin eschem b'makoyim hazeh v'loy bezula zeh, not anywhere else, l'min hayoy me'eis b'echem l'shama adimos olam, from the time to your forefathers, the time you've arrived until the Mos HaMashiach. Let's see Rashi, just one short Rashi on the entire section. Heichel Hashem, Heichel Hashem, Heichel Hashem, Tla zimnin b'shata atun nischazon kodomohi. 3 times a year do you appear before me. He's referring to the Targum. We'll see the Targum in a moment. We'll go to Targum. Is that don't be confident and think the reason why you're going to survive is because you come to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year. That's your confidence. That is a very big mistake. It's not going to save you. It's not going to save you. If you do have Eris, you're going to be destroyed. Let's see the Radak. Starting Pasuk Beis. Amoid b'shar Beis Hashem hu shar mizrachi ki hu amyuchud shebisharim. We know that the Beis HaMikdash had multiple gates. Had at least 7 gates. In the time of the Bayis Rishon, maybe think of even more during the time of the Bayis Sheni. So here when it says b'shar Beis Hashem, which gate is he referring to? So it's what we call Shar Nikinar. Shar Nikinar is on the east side. Hu shar mizrachi ki hu amyuchud shebisharim. It's the largest. Haboim b'sharim ha'ele shiva sha'arim hayu ba'zara shloisha ba'tzafon v'shloisha ba'darim v'yecha b'mizrach. This is what it says in the Mishnah Masechta Midos. Koyama Hashem, so says Hashem, v'ashkna eschem amitchem b'shchunchem b'shchunchem v'mokhem hazeh. I will allow you to remain living in this land, v'loy siglu, meaning you'll not go into exile, v'chamohu hachayisem kol nekeva ha'amadetem osam b'chayim. The hey ha'idea here means It means hamadatem. It means the same type of form. Have you left them alive? Just like there it says hachayisem kol nekeva. It was a question. Hamadatem osam b'chayim. Have you allowed them to remain alive? Here as well. Here as well, it has that same. It has a similar form. V'ashkena, the patach. V'ashkena aschem. I will. V'ashkena aschem. I will allow you to live here in this land.
It's a repetition of what he's promising later on. So.
At the end, right? The end. V'shikad, right? Those two words go together. Those two parts go together. Pasuk dalit al tiftachu lochem el divrei hashaker. Do not pay attention to words of falsehood. Loshon b'tochon nikshar imilas. El, he's asking a grammatical question. Why is it the word El? It should seemingly say S. Al tiftachu lechem S divrei hashaker. What is the word El? It's a grammatical, it's a style of language. L'shoin bitachoy nikshar imilas El, the imilas Al. And that's why sometimes we have El and Al in reference to words of Musar. B'zeh pasik hu El divrei, uva pasik, later on, hine atem botchim Al, who Al. Okay, so therefore, even though we would assume if we were writing the pasuk, we would choose a simpler word, S, it's a style of writing, El and Al. Pas next. Now, here we have the three repetition. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heima. Elu divrei hashaker shem lohem nevi hashaker. Now notice the Radak takes issue with the mitzudos. The Radak is not so generous to say that these are words of a person's subconscious mind. The person says to himself, nothing evil will come to me because I'm a tzaddik. I come to the Beis Hamikdash, I'm a good person. He says these are words of the nevi hashaker, and they were misleading the people. Hamatim osam. They were misleading the people, and they were telling them, Oheim oim lenavi, Oheim hoyu oimim lenavi, v'hu yirmiyahu, or it does not necessarily mean the Nevi'i HaShaker. It means the common man was saying to Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah, you're out of your mind. Do you really think that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed? It's not going to happen. Hashem is not going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash due to sin. The sin will not be destroyed. So here he says what the Mitzudo said. Avi Zichron Levach, my father, Uperish ki Pasuk Eretz. This parallels what it says later on in Parak Chav Beis Pasuk Chav Tes, where it says the word three times. There are a lot of parallels. Okay, the more we go through Sefer Yirmiyah, the more we discover there are multiple repetition. There are multiple styles of repetition which allude to other psukim in the Sefer. Ki Pasuk Eretz, like one pair of chavbeis, pair of chavtes, teshuvas, divrehem, omar, is where Yirmiyah responds to these words. Hare, hahechalosh, atem emelum lufonai, chashum kamoyo oretz, kevam, shatem, chaitim lufonai, umavazim, hahechalos. There he says that these three, these hechalos are going to be destroyed, They're going. Like we explained. In fact, you know, I got lucky. I found over the weekend, I had access to Oitzra Chochma, and there's actually a safer, perfect that has the translation of every pasuk. Exactly what I was looking for. Of every targum into Lashon HaKodesh to help me. It's like a dictionary. So here, and I'll read you. Let's go through this pasuk. This part won't do all the pasuk. Let's do this. But pasuk dalit. Pasuk dalit says, "Lo sis rachtsun lachon al piske neviyei." Do not have confidence. The word sis rachtsun is translated bitachon. That's the word in the pasuk. Okay, al piskame neviyei shikra. Now here's the three hechels. Here the targum elaborates. The omrin kadam that say before you. Hechloda Hashem atun dovchin. So here he's adding. The first hechel is to where you serve. Okay, you serve Hashem. Next hechel, kadam hechloda Hashem atun sogdin, where you bow down. I skipped. I have a different text.
Balchin means pray.
Okay, I have a different gear so then. Okay, I'm sorry, I have a different gear so. Nivi Shin Dom that Kodam Hechlod Hashem Datun, I have here Dovchin, Kodam Hechlod Hashem Atun. Okay, and then I have Kodam Sogdin.
And
You have that? And then I have Tlas Zinin. Oh, he must be missing something over here. Must be a mistake. Yeah, okay. Okay, must be missing. Okay. Polchin is to serve. Kadam Hechel Hashem Atun Dovchin, you sacrifice. Kadam Hechel Hashem Atun Sogdin Tlazimnin Bishata. Three times a year. Ata Mischazon Kadamohi, you appear before Kadosh Baruch Hu these three times a year. Okay, so he makes mention that three times a year you appear before Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Behechel is where you serve Hashem and where you offer sacrifices. These are words of lies. If you think that you're going to be speared, you're making a big mistake. Now,
it's said that if the lie is repeated often.
Oh, very good. The law, that's exactly who said in the art scroll, they actually make mention of that. Who do they quote that from? If you repeat a lie multiple times, people get to come to believe it. Exactly. I can't find it here, but I remember seeing that somewhere here. There's another, Medrash is another interpretation that the repetition of Hechel refers to the three sanctuaries that existed thus far, referring to the three major sanctuaries, which was Shiloh, Nov, and Givon. Okay, those were the three major Mishkanos that existed until the Beis HaMikdash. And they were saying, Hashem is not going to destroy this Beis HaMikdash like He destroyed Shiloh, like He destroyed Nov, and like He destroyed Givon. I guess they felt that they had a tradition that this Beis HaMikdash would last forever. And therefore they were upset, don't tell us this nonsense that we're going to suffer. The Malbum has another interpretation. And the Malbum takes note that the first two are not like the third. First it says, Heichel Hashem. Then it says, Heichel Hashem. Those two expressions are identical. And the last expression is, Heichel Hashem Hema. So what's the, Hema means they. What's the extra word they? So the Malbum says is that the first Heichel Hashem refers to the Yerushalayim Shalmaila. We have this Kabbalistic tradition that in Shamayim there is also a Beis HaMikdash. Then there is the Heichel Hashem on this world, and they're like sisters. They parallel one another. And the people were under the impression that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would destroy the Heichel on this world, it would destroy the Heichel in Shemayim. And Hashem would never want to do that. Even if we are sinners, we are evil people, Hashem could not possibly jeopardize the Heichel in Shemayim, because in Shemayim there are Malachim and there are Tzadikim, and they don't deserve that their Heichel should be destroyed. So they said, Heichel Hashem, there's a Heichel in Shemayim, there's the Heichel Hashem down on this world, Heichel Hashem Hema, together. Hema means they, plural. Together, the Heichel in Shemayim and the Heichel on this world together make up one unit. Therefore, just like in Shemayim, Hashem would not destroy His Heichel, it's impossible for Hashem to destroy the Heichel here on this world. And that was their mistake. That was the mistake. That's not so. That what happens in Shemayim depends upon the activities and the mitzvos and the averos of what happens on this world. And if Klal Yisrael does not behave, and they do not deserve there to be a Heichel on this world, Hashem is willing to forfeit the Heichel that exists in Shemayim. It's about, yeah.
Interesting that the Malbim says that the word Hema,
yeah,
doesn't refer to they, but it goes back to the previous verses of Tzorochim.
The people.
It's not just the binyan of
it. It's the people.
It's you.
Things okay.
that make a difference. If you don't follow Dachi Hashem, it will be destroyed.
Okay. So to review, we have here, it's an important passage for you to review very quickly all different ideas. Heichel Hashem, Heichel Hashem, Heichel Hashem Hema, according to the Mitzudos and according to the first interpretation of the Radak, it refers to the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Kodesh and the Ulam. According to the Targum, it refers to serve people for fool to believe that the Mikdash will not be destroyed because they would serve Hashem in the Mikdash by offering sacrifices. They would bow down to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, which is an important theme in and of itself to bow down. We'll do some of that later on in the Daf Yomi. There's a whole topic about bowing down and then offering korbanos. Furthermore, there are targum ads. The reason why it's repeated three times is to allude to the fact that they came to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year, and they felt in the zechus of being oyle l'regel three times a year, they would not be destroyed. Then you have Rav Mechol said a psychological trick that people will believe that it's not going to be destroyed because they convince themselves. Propaganda: the more you lie, the more people believe. The greater the lie, the more people will believe. And the fourth interpretation is Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Hema, means there's an abode in this world, there's an abode in Shamayim, and the two are connected, are linked one to another, and therefore Klal Yisrael felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not want to harm the spiritual worlds in heaven. Therefore, he's not going to harm us here on this world because the two are connected. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk in the Radak, pasuk in the Radak, you should do teshuvah. Doing teshuvah means aso ta'asu mekar bevav. It is the root word. The root includes a vav kamo behei. Asa, aso. Sometimes this word in the past tense, I'm not exactly sure, is a grammatical point. Next, pasuk vav ger yosam kamosh shemesh yoreach b'chisaron vav hachibar v'zochar v'zochar elev huadin lacherim. Okay, it mentions a ger yosam and almana, but not only these. Of course, it means corruption and theft even between one man and his fellow man. El zochar elev shlufishem ashukim berov lechalushosam. These people are more vulnerable to be victims. But of course, this rule applies. This corruption applies to any man in society. B'makom hazeh b'chol makom hura v'makom hazeh hu yoysera. So here he's making a very powerful point. The Radak is that Yirmi is saying that the sins that are taking place in the Beis HaMikdash are worse than the sins that are taking place outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the Mikdash, because here is the Mekoyim HaShechina. And so it's for this reason, some people, you had this reason about, should a person live in Eretz Yisrael? Should a person live in Yerushalayim? So there are those who argue that, I mean, you know, of course you should live in Eretz Yisrael, let's put it in terms of living in Yerushalayim. Should I take up my primary residence? Should I buy an apartment in the old city? You hear this argument. I want to live in the old city. You can buy an apartment of $10 million, you get an apartment, you're within 5 minutes walk from the Kaisel. Is that a really good idea? So it depends for who. If a person on a very high spiritual level, of course, you can draw the spirituality of the Kaisel. But if a person is not holding on, he's not on that level. A person spends most of his time with Dvarim B'Tehillim, watching television, surfing the web. It's not necessarily, not anything necessarily wrong. Not that it's wrong to do these things. But to live in the old city in Yerushalayim and spend your time doing these things, it's not necessarily the best thing to do. The better you live a little bit further out. This is an argument that some people make, that it's not necessarily, a person who's very sensitive, spiritually sensitive to the holiness of the land, and he feels that it's not holding on the spiritual level where he deserves to live in Yerushalayim, then in a chanami, it's not necessarily the best thing to be in the vicinity of the Shekhinah and not be fully with the program. And that's really what it says over here in this Radak, b'makom hazeh. To do an Aveira is not a good idea. B'chol mokoim hura. Uvimokoim hazeh hu yoysera. Why? Shuhu mikoim hashchina. Okay, next. L'ralochem, atem ro'im. Ki l'ralochem hu hilachtem acharei elohim acharim. You are evil because you have followed after false gods. Ki b'zman shatem oisim zeh, atem noif lefnei oiveyem. When you do this, you're going to fall to the hands of your enemy. V'shachanti l'min oilam ver oilam. If you do tshuva, you're going to live here forever. L'min oilam ver oilam. L'mizman rav, shenesatil lochem bimei avraham, nesatil lochem ad oilam, ritzon eloim Shemar, Kol Yimei Olam Im Yelchu Benechem Bidrochai, you'll be able to possess the land forever and ever. Let's go to the next Pasuk. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael that you're relying upon words of sheker, and they're not going to help you at all. Pasuk Tes. Hagonoiv. Does Hashem want you to steal? Ratzoyach, to commit murder. Vinoof, to commit adultery. He shavea la sheker, to swear falsely, to kater la baal, to offer incense to the avodah zara, the holech achari Elohim achareim asher lo yidatem. It's a rhetorical question. Does Hashem want you to do this? And then uvosem, and then after you fill yourself up, you're satiated with ritzicha gilui arayos, swearing falsely, offering ketores to avodah zara, and following in the ways of avodah zara, and then what do? This pasuk really ties back into the beginning of the parak where he's giving Musa that don't think that just because you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to redeem yourself. Uvasem, you now come, v'amadetem lefonai b'bayis hazeh asher nikra shmi olav, v'amartem, and you say, nitzalnu, we have now been saved from all of our sins. And what have we been saved? We've been spared to live another day in order to do more averos. A vicious cycle. Leman asos eis kol hatoevos eile, in order to do even more sins. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hameoras paritzim hoya habayis hazeh asher nikra shmi olav be'eneichem gam anoichi. This is a very powerful pasuk. He's saying over here that he's comparing the Beis HaMikdash to a cave of robbers. Sometimes I guess a shul feels like that. You come into a shul as an escape. You come in. It's a safe haven. Outside in the street, you can do any avera that you want. And then, in order to be safe, to find shelter from the authorities, you fool yourself in coming into the Beis HaMikdash. You come to the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses, in Hashem's eyes, is a cave of protection for paritzim, for bandits, for robbers. That's how I view the way you treat my Beis HaMikdash. Let's see the pasuk in the Mirin Sudas, the pasuk test. Hagonoi v'chi tignivu v'tiritzichu. Do you think you can go and you can rob and you can murder? Pasuk Yud uvasem, and then you can walk in to the Beis HaMikdash and everything's going to be fine. And then we can get forgiveness. Hashem says, "Laman asos, laman teshuvu lachatoy v'lasos shuv hamasim oyle." So what do? You come to the Beis HaMikdash and you clap al chait in order that you should live another year, so that in the following year you can do the same averos all over again. V'tia Beis Hashem siba. So it turns out that the Beis HaMikdash is just a cause, it's just a means in order to continue to do averos. Because if you did not have a Beis HaMikdash, you would not have kapara. If there was no kapara, you would not live out to the next year. You would not be able to do more averos. So you're using the Beis HaMikdash just as a means in order to live longer so you can do more averos. Sibo ve'ezel asos hato'evos bebotchem, and having faith that you can survive. Hamo'oras ho'im chishavtem shehoye habayis hazeh be'neichem kimaras haparitzim. Do you really think that this space HaMikdash is going to be a cave for robbers? Shekasher yasu hato'evos, after you do your abominations, yelchu lehechovei bamo'ora, you'll go and you'll hide in the cave. Gam anochi, Hashem says, I know what's going on. I see what's going on. Ritzono leimar, kemo sheyesh hadover hazeh im levavchem lasos hatoevos al bitochen bias habayis. Just like you know what you are doing, you commit these averos and then you go hide in the Beis HaMikdash. You make believe you're tzaddikim. Hashem says, I know what you're doing. Gam an gam kein ani roeh shekein hu al levavchem im levavchem. I know what's in your heart. V'lo nichad mineni, nothing is hidden from me. Rashi pasuk tes hagonov letzoach bitmiyah. Is this how you behave? You think you can do any aver you want, and then you're going to go do tshuva in the Beis Hamikdash so you can live longer to do more averos. I know exactly what you are up to. Radak pasuk tes haganov hatechashvu shetasu maasim roim v'tinatzu meinsham ba'avur shetavo v'tamdu lefonai b'bayis hazeh kasher atem oimrim achar shetasu kol hatoivos ila v'atavu b'bayis hazeh v'amartem. What do you say? Nitzalnu, we have been spared. What have we been spared from? Pegusho atem oimrim nitzalnu, we have been spared. Bavur shetoshuvu lasos es kol hatoivos ila, we've been spared, I guess, from punishment. We've been spared from harm so that we can live longer to do more abominations. Uvasem, now mefurshu, the pasuk goes on to explain exactly what they are saying. Hamo'oras paritzim, do you think this is a cave? The long radak v'chi tachshu v'shabayis hazeh kemo mo'oras paritzim v'chinu b'neichem abayis hazeh ma shetachashvu shatem nitzolim b'vochem elav hu v'hu k'hu hu who cough al avoincham. This is a, it makes your sin doubly bad. Shetiizu pinechem, you have the chutzpah. Lovo elai, you come to me. Achre asoschem mashe monati laso. So what I've told you not to do. Ein ze elapritzus the azus metzach ukesheleif. This is chutzpah and stubbornness. Shetasu hefech ritzoni, you do the opposite of what I want you to do, and then you come to the Beis Hamikdash v'tavato lufonai zemered godol v'hachosa. This, in my eyes, is a very great form of rebellion and anger. Gam anochi ne'ra'isi lo tachshavu, do not think. Ki ani lo re'ere machshav esechem haro'os ki ani kamoi ben adam. Hashem says, I'm not like a human being. Sheyachol echon lignoiv levavu l'haros l'fonam ha'shein b'levavu, like you can fool another person. Ki ani reisi levavchem reisi ki bevoichem elai ein levavchem elai ela bevavchem shetasu od esat hoivos asher asisa mitchila. I know that your tshuva is insincere. When you come and do tshuva, it's just make believe. You just want to have more time to do more averos. Ramasha amar ma'aras. Why does the pasuk select a cave? Ki chein derech haparitzim. This is the custom of robbers. Basoisam haraos. After they do evil, leheos. Safe yachad chutz liir, they escape outside of the city in a safe haven, bi'achas hamoros, in one of the caves, lehisoser, to hide their sham, mibnei adam, u'mashet haimru ki lo achiv beisi bavur ma'asechem, kamo shamar hechal Hashem, kamo shabrashnu l'mayla, Elohim divrei sheker, these are all words of falsehood. Okay, so this is powerful mussar, comparing the Beis Hamikdash to a cave. A new term, a new concept. The Beis Hamikdash, in Hashem's eyes, has turned into the Ma'oras Paritzim, where people do all of the worst possible sins enumerated above: Ritzicha, Niuf, Shvua Sheker, Ketores to Avodah Zarah, Halech Acharei Elohim Acherim. And then we make believe everything is fine and good. You come to the Beis Hamikdash, get dressed up in a nice black hat, everything is fine and good, and it's all just make-believe. The world of make-believe. Okay, let's stop here.